Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh. Dr. Dobson is in Washington, D.C. this week, accepting the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. We appreciate your prayers for both he and his wife, Shirley, as they make this journey to accept this prestigious award. Sitting in for Dr. Dobson once again is Dr. Tim Clinton, and he will be joined for this conversation by Dr. Gary Sibsey. They are the co-authors of the book, Loving Your Child Too Much, Raising Your Kids Without Overindulging, Overprotecting, or Overcontrolling. Dr. Tim Clinton is the executive director of the Center for Counseling and Family Studies at Liberty University. He is the author of more than 20 books, including his latest, Breakthrough, When to Give In, When to Push Back. Dr. Clinton earned his doctorate in education from the College of William and Mary. Dr. Gary Sibsey is a professor of counseling education at Liberty University, which is also his alma mater. He has a variety of clinical interests, including the assessment and treatment of childhood disorders. He also has done considerable research in the integration of religious beliefs in clinical practice. Here now is Dr. Tim Clinton to begin today's edition of Family Talk.
Dr. Sibsey, welcome back to Family Talk. It's great to have you in studio and to talk about our kids and raising healthy, adjusted kids who know what it means to be close to you, to be close to God and more. Even, yes, with that son or daughter is a little challenging. You can get there. So the question I think today as we get started is, Mom and Dad, how's it going with your kids? Do you feel close with them? You find yourself disciplining all the time. Maybe you feel tense or you're feeling disconnected. If that's where you're at, we want to talk about our general principles, Dr. Sibsey, guiding principles to help you connect in a unique way that provides hopefully an optimal environment for your kids to flourish. That's what I've always wanted for my children. We talked in our last program about two really important principles, and that is the idea of rules are significant in parenting. You've got to have structure. The challenge with rules is when our kids tend to, and if you have extra effort kids, challenging kids, these kids are facing so many commands every day. How many commands, Gary, every day?
Somewhere in between 800 to 1,500. Yeah, it's a lot.
And even the best of kids
keep about 60% of these.
And if you've got a challenging child where they're bouncing off the walls, or Dr. Dobson said maybe you got a strong-willed child or something here, and you know that book, that classic book that did, some 3 million copies. So that means there's a lot of families out there that have wrestle with these kind of kids. Gary, as we move into this, this rules piece, there's a tendency that if you don't connect well or you're not seeing change, you actually ratchet things down even tighter.
Right.
What's the fruit of that?
Well, and typically for the challenging child, like an ADHD child, the more rules that you're going to add to the equation for them, the worse it actually gets. So again, that's a reason we adjust for parents. I'll often tell parents, listen, let's pick the top 5 rules. Let's start there.
Kind of like choose your battles,
right?
Here.
You got to choose your battles with certain kids.
Yeah, and like Dr. Dobson for years talked about the difference between childhood irresponsibility versus willful defiance.
Exactly.
These kids aren't necessarily being willfully defiant, but if you're frustrated, if you're not connected with your child, you're going to say, what are you doing leaving your bike out in the front of the yard?
Right.
Put the stupid bike in the garage. You know better than that. Dad, I didn't even think about it.
Right.
What do you mean you didn't think about it? I didn't think about it.
Right. If you got an ADHD child, them leaving things around is going to be, sort of the day-to-day grind for you. And so you got to figure out as parents, and I really challenge parents, what's the top 5? And some parents, what's top 3? Like getting up, going to school, coming home, not hitting brothers and sisters. I mean, this is the first place to start. And then we start working from there. But most of the rules that we encourage parents to start with are relational ones. So not being aggressive, being nice, showing respect. And these are rules that parents then get a model for their children a lot, right? Because you can say, hey, listen, when you get mad, you can't hit. You can't do that. You got mad at your sister. You can't do that. Right. But now what's important, though, is that you can't be hitting them when you're doing this.
Yeah.
See, sometimes you have to ask yourself as a parent, if you're out there right now, is it possible for me to be firm in setting a limit without being mean and nasty? I mean, can you say to your child, listen, we don't hit each other when we get upset, right? We don't do that. You're going to have to find another way of handling it. Let's talk about that, right? And you're setting very clear limits. It's very firm, but you're not being mean and nasty. But there's a sense in which where people confuse setting firm, clear limits with being mean or aggressive in the way that you're relating to your child. So that's one. But the second piece is kids actually need time. And we've always talked about the famous saying that how do kids spell love? T-I-M-E. So you can't get around telling your child, you know, I love you, you're the greatest thing, you know, you mean the world to me. But if you don't actually have those relational interactions to build it all from, that's what kids listen to. They listen to your behavior.
Maybe a good way to understand this idea of relationship would be to, and mom and dad, if you're listening, just right now, think with me. There's something that's kind of wired right into us as a parent, Gary, right? We know whether or not we're dialed in with our child. Some people talk about being attuned to your child. That can only come in the context of what?
You need time, you need attunement, you need to engage them. And just think, you got to get down to the nitty-gritty, right? You got to make eye contact with your kids. You got to use lots of gestures. You got to add some emotion to the situation. You can't just be all sort of flat and disengaged. You got to like, hey, so how was your day today?
Think about it. You cannot really truly understand. And if you want your rules to stick and you don't want to wind up disciplining all the time, the power of relationship is very significant. Let me give you two statements here, and I want you to respond to them, Gary. Show me a home that's disciplining all the time, and I'll show you a home that's lost a relationship with their child. What does that mean?
Well, again, if everything becomes about the rule, right, everything comes about the enforcement of rules, then what happens is the quality, right, the warmth, the connectedness, the engagement, and the time just goes out the door. That your child doesn't want to spend time with you if everything is going to be about that. And you're not going to want to spend that much time with your child if everything turns into a battle.
Second statement, the quality of your relationship will determine the effectiveness of your discipline strategies. What does that mean?
Well, we sometimes, as parents, think about good bosses and bad bosses, right? People think of bosses that you work for. And bosses that no matter what you do, it's not good enough. It's like, you know, you forgot this, you forgot that, you forgot this. Every time you make a mistake, they're on you like a duck on a bug. And the question is, are you more or less productive for that boss? As opposed to a boss who, you know, is not just giving you positive feedback on stuff that you've done, but, you know, they are like, so how was your weekend? You know, how's the kids doing? How's the family? See, those are the kind of bosses that people become invested in. They want to do well with them because they're motivated, right, to maintain this relationship. So if you will, the relationship also begins to set the stage for morality. Because morality is inherently, from a scriptural perspective, relationship driven. Right? The two main commands that Jesus talked about, that you keep the whole law by obeying two relationship principles, right? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you do yourself. So the relationship begins to lay down the foundation for that your children to think morally. Morality is when you do things that are right no matter what. Whereas obedience is basically that you do what you're told regardless if it's right or not. Right, so you don't really care about the rightness. It was just that you were told to do it. But morality is driven, is principle driven, it's virtue driven. So the relationship forms the basis of that.
Gary, you talk about the word regulation. Let's go there. Learning to help kids stay calm, show respect. Again, skills, and you use this word, skills that your child must learn. Talk to us about regulation, why it's so important.
Well, if you think about it, when kids are behaving badly, 90% of the time, badly behaving kids are kids who are emotionally dysregulated. And if you think about yourself, right, the angrier you get, the dumber you get. IQ goes down as anger goes up. So Regulation is about keeping your emotions and your behaviors in check, in part. So how do kids learn this? Well, again, it's back to modeling this at one level. Don't try to do any discipline if you're dysregulated, because you're not going to do a good job. You got to know, as a parent, when you're able to force a rule into enforcement, right? There's times when you can do it, and you can do it effectively because you can stay firm and cool.
But most people would argue, Gary, that discipline should be immediate, meaning because the child will lose the sense of why he or she's being disciplined. Help us understand that.
Well, and again, as a parent, there's nothing wrong with saying with a child, right, we're going to have to deal with this later, not right this second. So while immediacy of discipline is, in fact, a good thing, right? You don't want to just put it off for days. Doing it when you're angry and ticked off is probably going to be much worse. So we teach parents to know when to punt, right? Punting is not a bad strategy. It's not your primary strategy, but it can be a very important one. In fact, we sometimes use the metaphor, because I get a lot of dads who think football. And the most non-glamorized play in football is the punt. I mean, that's when you go, you know, get a drink out of the refrigerator. But for a football coach, that's one of the most important plays, right? You can't go for it on 4th and 44 and you're on your own 2-yard line and it's in the first quarter, right? If you don't punt, you're going to lose. But if you're one of those parents who think that, no, it's 4th and 44, I'm going for it because I'd never back down, you're going to run into a lot of problems.
Again, it's a choose your battles type of issue.
It is. And there's good ways to punt and there's bad ways to punt. So if you're a parent who says you're going to do it no matter what, you know, and then you punt, that's not as good as knowing as a parent, you know what? This isn't going to work out well. I'm not going there, right? He's totally out of it. He's dysregulated. He's had a bad day the whole day, and forcing the shower tonight is not the best idea. So I'm not even going to force the issue tonight. You don't lose any ground on that for that night. And you have to figure out, depending on your child, how big is the shower every night on your list. Not that it's not important, but there's probably bigger fish to fry at times.
Gary, so what's the takeaway on regulation? What do I need to put into practice tonight?
Well, the biggest thing is making sure that you yourself can handle your own emotions, right? You got to take responsibility for dealing with your own frustration tolerance, your own anger, your own frustration. Okay, that's one. So work on that piece. Sometimes as a parent, you got to learn
ways of dealing
with your own
stress. So this is a gift, Gary. This is a skill you're trying to teach and have them catch at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what do you say to the parent who's really frustrated? I mean, they're exhausted. They're overwhelmed. I mean, he wears me out.
Right. So now those are different pieces, right? Because sometimes that is an idea of a parent who's got multiple stresses besides just their child. And sometimes regulation extends beyond just a parent-child relationship. Sometimes regulation extends to, hey, do you have any support figures? What's the quality of, you know, your marital relationship? Do you have someone that you can go to and unpack with? You got to be able to have support figures as a parent. So parenting in an isolated situation where you don't have any support and you got a high challenging child and you start feeling that way, and I get parents who are right in that position, right? But usually that's a parent who's stressed, not just with their child, but they got a bunch of other stresses going on. And they're living life on the margins. So sometimes regulation is about, you're going to have to, you know, figure out how to dial this down.
Because that's what I'm seeing. That's what I'm feeling here for a moment.
Right.
The homes that are just way out of bounds, overscheduled, running here, there, etc. Nobody wants to be the bad cop here for a moment. And nobody wants to get lost in all this. I mean, everybody's exhausted.
Well, you bring up a good point. I mean, parents easily overpack things into their kids' days, you know, into their schedules. And so regulation is also about keeping some order, some time for downtime, some time for things just sort of slow down, the evening quiets down. So if you're a mom out there and you don't have a lot of support systems, we got to get you plugged in. So regulation, though, importantly from a brain perspective, if everything is lit up like a Christmas tree in your brain, The unfortunate thing is that the higher regions in your brain, that part of your brain behind your eyes, right, turns off. And that's the part of the brain that we really want to try to develop the most, right? It's the part that gives you self-control, that allows you to put the brakes on your behavior.
Well, Gary, let me jump into the next principle, and that's the idea of reflection, which often isn't talked a lot in parenting.
Right.
And give us a quick definition of it real quick.
Well, reflection has to do with helping your child learn how to use words to label their internal world. You've heard the old saying, you got to name it to tame it. If you're going to learn how to do problem solving, if you're going to learn how to manage your emotions, you've got to be able to put words on them. So what happens is that a lot of parenting models were developed in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when the U.S. was just rampant with behaviorism, which said the mind doesn't matter at all. What we think is totally irrelevant. Well, so we're past that now. We realize that using language is the natural way that God has in place for us to manage our emotions. Now, think about it. You know, your six-year-old comes, or four-year-old, five-year-old comes to you. They're all upset. They're crying. Yeah, but Jordan took my... The first thing, really, that parents do is say, what happened? What went wrong? Hold on a second. Tell me what happened. And you notice that what happens is that you're bringing words into the equation, right? So all this emotional upset happens on your right side of your brain, but it's the left side of your brain, the language part of the brain, that starts to put the brakes on. It starts to calm it. Oh, so you were playing with your truck and your brother came up and he took it from you and took it to his room and slammed the door. Right. And you're ticked off about it. Right. And I want you to go punch him in the face for me. Well, no, we don't do that. But what can we do, right? So it's interesting. Now we've got the problem from emotional meltdown to language. See, language brings regulation and organization to behavior. And we can begin to think, well, now what are our options? What are the different things that we could do? You know, we don't punch people when they do things they don't like, but what can we do? But our point is that kids who have challenges have very limited internal vocabulary. Now, they may have a big vocabulary and can tell you everything, you know, as far as vocabulary words, but internal vocabulary. It's about learning to know what you feel and why you feel that way. So what we have found is that those are the two kinds of thinking, this reflection, that set the stage for your child to become a problem solver. And learning how to solve problems, especially interpersonal problems, is the absolute most important skill that your child can take into adulthood. And the interesting thing is, when you don't have that internal language, those internal words, then that leads to kids who are extremely rigid and inflexible. So what we know about all these kids, the kids with ADHD, the kids with ODD, you know, oppositional defiance, and kids with like OCD and anxiety problems, one thing they all have in common is that they're rigid, which means that they tend to think of the world as black and white, all or nothing, either or.
Absolutely.
I win, you lose, right?
Yes.
And most of the problems that they run into on a day-to-day basis have to do with transitions throughout the day. And transitions require this cognitive flexibility. To become more flexible, you have to have more language, more words.
So you've got to have reflection.
You've got
to be able to step back and kind of like see it in context.
Right. Now, reflection then deepens your capacity for the one of the most important skills advocated in Scripture. You can't do the love your neighbor as you would yourself unless you have the capacity for empathy. So if you don't know what you feel and why you feel that way, you have no idea why other people feel the way they do, nor do you even care. So in order to be an empathic person who takes into consideration how your behavior affects other people, you got to have reflection.
Gary, we have one more R we've got to get in here real quick, and that is the idea of reason. Can you take us into that space real quick?
Well, by reason, what we mean is like the idea of purpose. You know, when kids have the other skills, and by the way, all these skills build on each other, okay? So rules and relationship are early, building in reflection, regulation and reflection. But once kids become a little bit more advanced, especially as they start to enter into adolescence, but they can learn this even earlier, is that they need a sense of accomplishment, a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning. Now, that doesn't mean that they understand the meaning of life. But for example, it's a very powerful thing for kids to feel connected to something bigger than just themselves. Right. They, you know, I thought one of the most touching stories that I heard about my son when he was growing up, and this felt good to me as a parent, but a teacher told me, you know, it was interesting. We had a new kid who came to our class and he came just the other day, and we went over to on a field trip, and nobody would sit with this kid, and your son went over and sat with him and talked with him, and nobody else would. And he took it upon himself to do that. And I remember asking him, I said, Jake, what was the deal? He goes, Dad, he wasn't very easy to get along with, but I kind of felt bad for him. I felt like somebody needed to step up to the plate. And, you know, now that's not something that I see out of my son on a day-to-day basis, but my point is sometimes it's important to begin to teach our kids how to feel like they're contributing to something bigger than just themselves.
That it's more than just that they matter.
Right.
That they can make a difference. I remember Megan coming home from school one day, and she was out on the playground, and one of her friends, she said, Dad, she was so mean to everybody. I mean mean. Mad. And treating us all bad. She said, I marched right over to her, and I said, you know what? I know that you... She talked about something in her home. She said, and I know that hurts. But you don't have to be mean to us because of that.
Right.
You can make a decision. You don't have to treat us bad. And it was like, well, there you go. Some self-awareness.
Right.
Recognizing there's a way to interact, a way to have influence, and a way, by the way, to engage somebody for a greater cause. You know, parenting's not easy. We talked about some interesting and somewhat difficult concepts here to think through. And if you're busy and if you're lost, your world's overwhelming, you're overscheduled, everybody's on their iPhones every day, and we're not connecting, we're getting into a spin really quick in our family. We want to say this to you. We come to you every day on this station speaking into your life because we care about your relationships. We care about your relationship with God. We care about your relationship with those you love, your children. It's going to take investment. It's going to take preparing myself and doing it over and over again every day, showing up. You know, they say 90% of success is suiting up and showing up at the field.
Yeah, you got to show up.
And that's parenting, isn't it? Let me give you the last word right here.
Well, look, I mean, we like the idea of the five R's just so that you have some hooks to hang things on to, right? To bring some organization and structure to what you're trying to do as a parent. Keep it in mind, though, if you get lost and you go, now, what are all those five R's? Just keep the main two in place, right? You got to have clear rules, right? But you got to have relationship in order for those to work. And work on those two first, right? So those are the most important things. But as you move along as a parent, don't forget these other components. And there's lots of ways to creatively build them into your day-to-day life as parents and with your children. And what we tend to find is that over time they build success. But keep in mind that parenting is a long-term process, so this isn't a microwave situation. You know, you don't microwave parenting. It's a long stew, you know, that you put into the crock pot, and you're not going to get the results of that for some time. But you got to have some patience and hope and a lot of perseverance.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton. I've been filling in today for Dr. James Dobson. You're listening to Family Talk. Our special guest again has been Dr. Gary Sibsey. Gary's an expert on parenting and working with challenging children, sharing some amazing principles about how we can get dialed in to our relationship and, by the way, how we can connect at a different level with our children.
And that concludes our two-part conversation on the theme of raising healthy kids on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Over the past couple of programs, Dr. Tim Clinton has been sitting in for Dr. Dobson and was joined by special guest Dr. Gary Sibsey from Liberty University. You heard Dr. Clinton mention Dr. Dobson's book, The Strong-Willed Child, and the impact it's had on households where a strong-willed child has literally been ruling the roost. Parents who focus too much on rules can often miss out on having a deep and fulfilling relationship with their children. But in some households, a strong-willed child will lead parents to be so relationship-focused that they're basically afraid to discipline that youngster. May it never be so. You'll find a copy of the book, The Strong-Willed Child, on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Finally, this word of thanks for your prayers and ongoing financial support of Family Talk. This program is completely listener-supported, and we rely on God through your tax-deductible financial contributions to help us continue in the work to which He has called us. You can donate online when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can make your contribution over the phone when you call toll-free at 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening today to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.